Hello, it's Father Kelly here on a beautiful Wednesday before Thanksgiving afternoon, nice and sunny, much better than the last time I recorded on a rainy Sunday afternoon, and also better because I'm using the proper microphone this time and not the laptop microphone, so hopefully this sounds a lot better than the previous episode. There's a few things that were on my mind that I wanted to talk about anyways, and then some other things happened that complemented that and really brought a different kind of transition. So I saw in the news, unfortunately, a situation, the headline, just might have read it to you, U.S. Catholic priest who avoided charges marries teen he fled to Italy with. Maybe you heard about the story, maybe not. Very short version, a priest from a different diocese somewhere in the south. Not sure exactly how it happened, but he basically left the country in a scandalous way with a former high school student. Both were over age, so legally, technically, it was not charges pressable. Obviously, he was removed from the priestly state, and his diocese is not a functioning priest, but it's a real dagger to that community and the whole church to see this priest do such a scandalous thing. Especially, I mean, you can tell because it's report being, this article I happen to see is by The Guardian, which is a newspaper in the UK. So in a major newspaper that covers around the world, they're hearing about this priest who ran off with a former high school student, which is pretty awful. And that is a very difficult kind of thing to have happened, where sin, where evil seems to come from within the boundaries of the church, who somebody who should be one who helps combat sin is actually doing quite a lot of it on their own. Then we have sin that is without. I saw in the same news stream, just one article below it, a different article titled "Altar Vandalized, Sacred Vessel Stolen from Sacred Heart Basilica in France." Pretty standard church vandalism case, which is an unfortunate thing to even be able to say that there's a standard kind of church vandalism. But people broke in, smashed up some statues, defaced the altar. Thanks be to God they did not steal the Eucharist. But there's this, you know, it's one of what happens more often than people would care to admit, an attack on a Catholic church, which seems motivated by a very evil desire to do good to that which is good, true, and beautiful. There's some things that I think are complementary in a way, but of a much lesser degree. I think we'll call them naivete without and within, where there's a great lack of understanding or realization, both from within the church and from outside the church. Let's look at within first. Very often, I am stunned, I'm sure Brother Priests are too, about what even our own people just don't understand. You know, we'll going to Mass every Sunday is one of the commandments. Like, it's a basic expectation. If you don't go to Mass every Sunday, that's a serious sin, even a mortal sin. And people are just completely oblivious to that and surprised by it. And even if you say it, you can just sort of watch it kind of cascade over the top of their head, and they just kind of look at you with a puzzled look and go on with conversation like you just spoke in Portuguese for a minute. And it's this weird naivete that people are Catholic but don't really have a conception for what it means to actually live the Catholic faith. And I don't blame them so much, because they were probably poorly catechized. They weren't held accountable for what they were doing. You know, here at the parish, I try and beat the drum all the time of, okay, yes, you're gonna get your kid baptized. That's amazing. You're expected to be at Mass every Sunday beforehand and afterwards too. Same thing with confirmation. You want to have confirmation? That's awesome. Please let us give you the sacraments. But it's not just a one-and-done thing. You don't just pop in, get confirmed, and never come back. That's not the point. That's hypocritical and a double standard to say, well, I want the Catholic things, but I don't want to actually live a Catholic life. But again, when we enforce that and talk about it and beat that drum over and over again, so often I get that same just blank stare of, like, they don't even know how to comprehend the requirements I'm talking about, because it just like doesn't register. Like, I suddenly began lecturing in calculus, and they just kind of glaze over, and it's frustrating to say the least. But there's also in that naivete within about how we so often people just kind of don't understand, and like just doesn't compute, even those who are intentional practicing Catholics, who maybe do, you know, hopefully do come to Mass every Sunday and even pray the rosary and go to adoration, things like that, there's a great naivete of what it's like outside the church. That is, what the, if you will, the average Joe believes. You have a person on the street, what they think about the Catholic Church. Most of them either think completely wrong things that make no sense whatsoever, that are just off the wall from some preacher they heard talk or something, some, you know, God bless it, some YouTube video that said what the Catholic Church teaches, which is almost guaranteed to be completely incorrect. Or people who don't have ill will or bad thoughts against the church, they just don't have any thoughts about the church. You know, I was around recently, somebody was somebody was working in the church, a contractor, and they asked, I overheard them ask, is this a Catholic church, to the person they were working with? And I was looking around the sanctuary and going, how do you not realize it's a Catholic church? Like, how do you not see these things, you know, crucifix, images of Mary, altar, can't, like all of the typical Catholic things, how do you be around these things and not know this is a Catholic church? But there's such a lack of context. Like, we Catholics, we think, oh, well, how do you see these things and not realize? But to so many people, the Catholic stuff that we think is obvious is just some stuff. And there's not a, they don't know that next step that, oh, these are the Catholic things. Like, I guarantee you, there are people who know that St. Peter's Basilica in Rome exists and is this big, awesome place. They know that Notre Dame in Paris exists, or, well, it's being rebuilt, but things like that. And they would go, cool, Notre Dame, what a beautiful place. St. Peter's, what a beautiful place. Wait, those are Catholic churches? Like the same Catholic church of, like, the parish down the street? Yeah, it's the same thing. But so these, the people, if you will, without the church, are really naive about what the heck the church is and what it stands for. But very often, us within the church are naive about what the people out there think or believe. We're kind of puzzled about, well, why don't people, you know, understand the church? Or why do they get, you know, you see articles about, oh, the Pope said this, or this thing happened, you know, the article I referred to earlier. And if you read the comments, which really you shouldn't, or people, you know, water cooler kind of sort of conversation, most of it is just off the wall and, like, head scratching, because people just don't know. There used to be, you know, maybe a generation past, kind of a baseline cultural knowledge of what the heck the Catholic Church is, or, you know, is and was. But I think we're pretty far beyond that. People just don't pick it up. They don't learn it. It's not as prevalent as it used to be. And so most people you encounter, they know that the Catholic Church is a thing that exists. But, like, what it is, what it stands for, what it's about, what its history is, where it comes from, completely disconnected from any sense of they might have passed a Catholic church 1,000 times, might know people who are Catholic, they might have seen a rosary, seen images of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and, you know that saints exist or something, but there's not the connection we think there is. It's just these disparate floating around facts, information, and pictures of things, but they don't identify as a collective whole that is the Catholic Church. And as Catholics, we don't pay attention enough to that because, well, if we realized how much people don't really know, we would do a lot better job explaining what the truth really is. But instead, we kind of maintain our own little house and be content with what we do, not realizing that most people are just massively missing out on it. But God is not deterred by all of these things. All of the above was on my mind. I wanted to kind of talk about those things. But then more stuff happened today. No need to go into the details of it, but any priest will tell you, and I experience it pretty often, that the administrative part of a parish is a pretty big burden. There's things we try and do, you know, big plans, moving money, making, you know, construction stuff, or just office things, protocols, requirements, paperwork, submissions, emails, that sort of stuff. Very important, necessary to be done, not saying it shouldn't be done. But there's also the sense, and my brother priest will confirm this, I'm sure, that we have those days where we go, you know, when I said yes to priesthood, this is not the kind of stuff I had in mind. And just a bit of a sidebar, dear people of God, your pastor is doing a whole lot more of that than you realize. Again, you see him on Sunday, maybe throughout the week once or twice, but he spends probably more time than he would prefer doing office work and that kind of, at least for me, tiring, heavy lifting of paperwork and decision-making that's not preaching the gospel, that's not writing a homily, that's not hearing confessions. It's kind of business manager type stuff. So it's easy to get discouraged by that. And, you know, you might add that to the sin within and without, and the naivete within and without, as one more thing that kind of makes us wonder where God is in all this. But then things happen that bring it all back. Without saying particulars about their particular cases for their privacy purposes, but this is not sacramental confession or anything, but still, I was in that administrative burden kind of mode today, wrestling with some things of that regard, kind of trying to pray through them and let that burden be taken to God, kind of give it to him, because I can't fix things as fast as I would like to, but they're on the way. And then a friend called and shared with me how they were really struck by something they heard in a homily and how it really upended their thinking in a difficult but positive way, how basically God surprised them and God broke into the room, if you will, and like the Kool-Aid man through the wall and said, well, you thought things were just nice and neat and maybe going slowly, but boom, here I am to bring you something surprising but also very beautiful. And then while I was on the phone with that person, I actually had excused myself from the phone call because I saw somebody outside in the parking lot, which happens from time to time at the church. They seem to be looking for something, kind of casting around, you know, maybe they, I don't know what. So as I usually do, I go out there and, you know, hello, can I help you? And I had a really amazing conversation with somebody who is struggling with mental health and has had experiences of evil spiritual things, real demonic power kind of stuff. They've unfortunately been exposed to neighbors or places who are doing witchcraft and, you know, Ouija board kind of stuff. And he's bearing the brunt of that. And it was very scary for him, but he was also greatly desirous of returning to the Lord and being forgiven of his sins and wanting to be free of this evil influence in his life that causes him so much pain and suffering. And we had a very blessed conversation. I prayed with him, prayed for him. And as I came back into the rectory after that conversation outside and thinking of the phone conversation prior to that, it really brought home in a hefty way, let's say it that way, that, yeah, all those, the bad news stories of, you know, a priest behaving scandalously, of violence being done against the church, of the frustration, you might call it, of the people of God's own understanding of the church and the lack of understanding of those outside the church as well, how those things could be so much better, and we're very often naive about those things, and the admin difficulties that's just not a strength of mine, I will admit, and the burden of that. I was thinking about all of those things, but then noticed how after these two important conversations where the movement of the Holy Spirit was very present to two people, all of that disappointing or difficult things just became so much smaller, became so much not as big as it seemed but an hour prior. Yeah, of course it's very horrible that that priest went off and did what he did. And it's very much a bad thing that these people broke into and vandalized the church. And it very much is something needs to be addressed, this naivete that both we as Catholics have and the outside world has about what the church is and what it's about. But God doesn't get dissuaded by that. God, in a sense, kind of doesn't care. Like, of course he cares. Of course he wants us to be reconciled and turned to him, and he doesn't want his churches vandalized, and he doesn't want his priests behaving badly. But he doesn't sit around and wring his hands and just sit quietly and go, well, I guess I better stop doing stuff because these bad things are happening. No, in fact, quite the opposite. He responds to these difficulties by stepping up all the more, by making himself all the more present and all the more visible and all the more active in people's lives. Whenever sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Whenever there is evil, God is all the more present. God responds, in fact, does even greater than those evil things to conquer over them. And so those are the difficulties and frustrations and pains and sorrows. All seem so small when you actually encounter person to person the way God is moving within the person that he loves. And as a priest, what a blessing it is to be part of those small, quiet moments, those little conversations where we get to see someone's heart and see how God's heart is working with them. Do the other things need to be addressed? Of course. Should priests behave properly? Should churches not be vandalized? Definitely. Should the people of God be more aware of what the church teaches and what the outside world does or doesn't know about the church? Completely. But that doesn't stop God from doing his thing anyways, from moving with his grace, from providing people freedom from their sins, from breaking into their lives, into all of our lives, to do the good things that need to be done. It's a wonderful life to be part of this priestly thing. I wouldn't trade it for anything else, even in the admin times. But it's also such a huge blessing to see that God breaks through beyond the things of this world, beyond the difficulties, and keeps doing his wonderful grace and providing it for all people who are ready to meet him. God bless you all.